on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio, as he is every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's Uncle T-Bone, your favorite uncle, back in the studio. How are you, man? Good to see you once
again. Doing great, Jacob. Glad to be back. Give us a call at On the Line, 334-321-1390, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. A lot of things happening in the sports world. Auburn baseball gets off the schneid.
All right.
Run rolling Florida Atlantic. Florida A&M. We're all happy about that. So they've got a big series moving into the weekend at LSU. They'll be minus star player Ike Irish, who's hurt with some type of injury, 1 to 3 weeks. You know, he's had a busted up hand, and now it's something else. Poor kid just can't seem to catch a break. So Auburn will be shorthanded heading down to the Bayou. The NFL draft is tomorrow, and I love the NFL draft. Jacob, we got to get into that and talk as much NFL draft as we possibly can. I like in the NFL season, I think it goes like Super Bowl for me, NFL draft, then the rest of the season.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just very exciting and fun, okay. and they've made a great production of it. So that'll start tomorrow night at 6 Central Time. Everyone who's a big NFL fan around the area will be tuning in. I think I'm actually going to a draft party. It's going to be a ton of fun.
There you go.
That's kind of dominating everything. Auburn loses a couple players in the portal yesterday. I don't know. I know one of them, I think, that had kind of been wavering back and forth whether or not he was leaving, in Colton Hood and then Tyler Scott. I'm not sure if that went out of the blue. I do have some questions about that we need some answers for, Jacob. If they were leaving, why not just leave right after the spring game? You know, I mean, is there a little tampering going on in college football or what? I mean, that one kind of caught me off guard. It's like, if you were going to leave and you saw your position and you saw the players and you saw that the freshman from Parkview, this Crawford kid, is pretty solid and going to get a lot of playing time this next year, and you think you should go, why not leave after the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's up for interpretation, I guess. And, you know, with this whole thing, I mean, the season, right, spring happens, you have spring practice, you've got, you have the spring game, and then you start having all those conversations. Coaches talk with all the players, the head coach in particular will sit the players down and just have that real conversation of, hey, we've had a good relationship. You're going to be a starter. You're going to be competing. You're going to be a role player. You're going to be coming off the 2-deep, 3-deep, whatever. Or, hey, it may be time for you to look for somewhere else, right? Those conversations happen, but then the players have to decide whether they just want to hang around or if they are going to have a place to go, a landing spot. And then at the end of the day, I mean, they've got to start getting some intel on, are they going to make some money somewhere, right, Alan? Are they going to make any money? Are they going to have a place to go if they enter the transfer portal? And, yeah, you can enter your name and then pull it back out, and you can do all of that mess. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of these guys don't want to go and do the process of the transfer portal unless they are fully ready to go. And with these guys in particular, and you're talking about Colton Hood, who's in there, who left yesterday, that one was a little bit surprising to me. I really did think that he was somebody who was going to be in that rotation on the 2-deep in that spot back there in the defense, but it is what it is. And look, we can have a discussion and an argument on if there's still tampering going on in college football. I mean, let's just be honest here. There is.
I believe everybody's tampering at this point.
I mean, it's been happening since it started, since college football existed.
Yeah, if you're a player in the portal in any sport, particular football or basketball, and you're a big time program, you've got a whole infrastructure set up now to quote unquote anticipate certain players possibly going
into the portal for certain needs you may have on your roster. So I think that's just a pretty much known strategy now in college football.
I think you may have said this the other day. I mean, and this is something that people don't talk about. There's two things I want to mention here. Families are very involved with this.
Oh, this, yeah, no question about that.
Parents and grandparents, guardians, whoever, are very, very involved here because the rules start to get a little murky when you start talking about family members. And if this assistant coach just happens to reach out to the grandmother of said player and, hey, would he by any chance, Uncle T-Bone, by any chance, would he be interested if he were to, say, enter the transfer portal? If we just happen to reach out to him and we happen to have a roster spot and we happen to have a little, would he be interested in coming to play here? What do you think, Grandma?
Taught me writing back in second grade, and I just so happened to be on staff at Ole Miss as a player, assistant player of personnel director, not picking on Ole Miss, just using them as an example.
Sure.
They're pretty heavy in the portal, right? And we'll just kind of, I don't know, reach out and put our feelers out there. I think that there's an entire circuit of it now, and it's almost like when I was in the grocery business and we had an excess amount as a grocery supplier of a certain product that was kind of becoming short date. You could go to the diverter wire where you basically put this stuff in mass, in volume at a lower cost, and all these buyers at stores, not just necessarily even grocery stores, but discount stores also, not going to name them, but you know what I'm talking about, could go, yeah, I'll take a truckload of that, boom. And there was just a way to unload goods and services that you were a little long on, or you just needed some revenue or whatever. And I think in today's college football world, I don't think there's some particular website set up about it, but that might be a pretty good idea for you, intern Allen, as you move into the real world and just say, you know, look, so, you know, these names, blah, 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 just in a list are not necessarily in this official portal, but they're in the step before the portal. And we're just all out here on the diverter wire of college football players talking about, you know, who we can snag and who we cannot snag.
You know what I compare this to? I compare this to being back in middle school, right? You're out on the playground if you still had recess back then. And in middle school, some schools did, some schools don't. But you get what I'm saying here. Middle school on the playground. Maybe even elementary school, fourth and fifth grade. And you're like, you're talking and you're like, man, I really just have some, you know, that Josie girl's real cute, right? And you can't talk to her. You don't want to talk to her. You don't want to become off weird. But you're going to talk to her friend just to see if, hey, if I happen to be interested, do you think your friend would be interested if I was interested? You know what I'm saying? Like, we all had those conversations. That's some middle school, elementary school drama right there. That's how I compare this. And that's what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
Because it's a real thing. It really, really is. And that's where you really start getting into the darker, dirtier side of the transfer portal, for a lack of better term there. I mean, it's just, that's what's happening in the transfer portal right now. And let me say this too, the other point I wanted to hit on.
Mm-hmm.
For a kid who is considering entering the transfer portal, and you were asking why some of these guys at Auburn and other places didn't enter immediately, talking about football in particular here, I mentioned this the other day after talking with some coaches in the past. When a kid enters his or her name into the transfer portal, nowadays in the high-level competitive sports in college, if you are not in their inbox, DMs, text messages within the first 12 hours, you're out. You have no chance.
Yeah.
And this is not even football I'm talking about. This is golf and volleyball that I've spoken to coaches about. If you're not with them in the first 24 hours in communication, you have no shot. And so think about this from, let's just say, a 20-year-old's perspective, a 20-year-old young adult college student athlete, where you are deciding if you want to enter your name in the transfer portal, and you know the second you hit send, you type in your name, submit the papers, and the moment you hit enter, people are going to be lighting you up. You're going to get, it's going to be reported everywhere. You're going to have coaches reaching out, other players reaching out. It's going to be a madhouse, depending on how highly available you are and how, I guess, how good you are, right? I mean, just what your stock is. if you were to enter the transfer portal. And then you got to be prepared to go somewhere. Like, those are the things we don't always talk about in this situation, in these scenarios, is as a 20-year-old, you've got to be ready to hit that send button and be ready for it to be just an all-out war for whoever wants you, and you got to decide where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that just answers a lot of the question I had to begin the show. I mean, quite frankly, being around for a long time, I've made some career changes, and I'm never going to let an employer know, unless it's just a terrible situation, that I'm out the door before I got another job, right?
I mean, that's typically a good strategy.
So these things can be going on for a couple of weeks, and maybe Colton Hood was, you know, kind of eyeballing everything and just waiting for that one little right person to reach out on that coconut telegraph and say, yeah, not just yes, not no, not maybe, but check the yes box. Mm-hmm. and let's get that, let's get with Colton's uncle, you know, or auntie, you know, that I grew up with, and right, we'll just kind of negotiate this deal. And when he got the deal he wanted, I hope that's the case. I hope it's not that he just decided that there was too much competition over at Auburn in the defensive backfield, and he wanted to go see what else is out there. I mean, I think that Auburn's roster's improved greatly, but it's still got a long ways to go. These folks got to realize, though, that in a successful program, and I'm not bashing NIL or the portal. I'm not one of these it's ruining the college football world people. It is what it is at this point. It's here to stay, so you better learn to manage it. You better adapt it. You better overcome, and you better be successful in it, because your competition is. And if anybody is bashing NIL money, you can just take a – there you go, Alan. You can just take a good look at over at Jani Broome, mm-hmm, because that's the only reason he's back at Auburn next year and going to give us a shot at winning a national title. So I'm all for that. But you know, I just think that there's a way to handle it, and I'm not saying that with these Auburn guys that they handled it poorly. These two people that are leaving the program from Auburn football, the defensive backs. Now Auburn has to go out into the portal and find a couple of defensive backs. But there are ways, I think, that some people handle it better than others.
Let's get to the phone lines for the first time today. They are open, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, man. How are you?
Hey, Michael. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. It's good to hear from you.
So I've been pretty busy. Anywhere this Friday?
Not this Friday, okay. But hey, stay tuned, because we do have some coming up in the next few weeks and few months, so stay tuned.
Okay. It's not an every Friday thing. Who's before you? Is that Dan?
No, that's Doug. That's Doug Amos for the Max Roundtable out of Montgomery.
I don't want to get them. Man, I had to turn that off earlier. I thought I was listening to an Alabama show. There's a guy on, and it was entertaining, and I was listening to it for a little bit, but they're talking about all these people they're getting, you know, football, and now they're talking, you know, all these basketball players they're getting, and they're throwing our boy that left us over there, and then they said something that really upset me. I didn't think it was upsetting me, but I noticed I was, like, getting more angry at red lights, and those kids were trying to cross those little yellow blinking things on College Street, and I'm huffing and puffing, and I realized I need to change the channel. When they said Sears is most likely going to come back, I almost lost it, and poor kid almost got ran over. I'm just.
What about that upset you, Andy?
About Sears coming back?
Yeah.
I think he's a great player, and I think he's, you know, time to go on and be in the NBA and let them have their hands full with Aiden Holloway. Let him fill the shoes, and I was very happy with that.
Well, Andy, I agree with you that it's my belief, and I think, I'm not sure if Jacob agrees with this, that Mark Sears should go on to the NBA, and it's not because I'm a fan and I don't want to see him gone. I just don't think his stock's ever going to be higher. I don't think he's going to get any better at Alabama than he was this season. And listen, he was one of the top three players in the SEC, if not the top player in the SEC, between he and Dalton Connect and Jani Broome this past season, in my opinion. So, I mean, you know, money talks, though, and in the NIL world, they might throw more money at him up there than he would get the first year if he's not drafted in at least the second round of the NBA and has to become a free agent. So I'm with you on that, but you got to remember, too, this is pumper season right now. From now until kickoff, it's just pump-a-mania by just about any media people, especially those who are looking for you to follow them on YouTube or get you to sign up for a subscription. And just about anybody in the media right now is going to be like, got them all coming. The hay's in the barn, Andy. National championship. Right. Stay with me and follow me on YouTube, buddy. So that's the way I look at it. I know the guy who from Alabama, I think that he has on Wednesdays, he's a good dude and a nice guy. But, you know, he's been wrong several times. He was telling folks last year around this time that there was no way Perry Thompson and the Riddick kid from Chilton County were going to commit to Auburn, and then like a week later they both did.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad I'm calling my weekly psychiatrist.
Get on the couch anytime, buddy.
That's all I needed. All right. Everyone's safe in Auburn for the next few hours. Thank you.
Glad we could be the safety patrol around campus for Auburn, Andy. Good. We appreciate you calling in, man. 334-321-1390. With this, I want to take our first break. I want to talk about this a little bit more. And then a reminder, it is Wednesday, so Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 is going to be with us. We'll talk about Georgia from the transfer portal. You mentioned the NFL draft. We're going to get into that later in the day as well. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft that begins tomorrow. And if I just had to take a guess, I would assume a Georgia player would get drafted somewhere, maybe, hopefully.
Georgia's been putting players in the NFL lately.
Is Brock Bowers getting drafted?
I really haven't noticed that over the last 5 years.
We'll talk to him about that.
When they've been stomping a mud hole in us.
That's right. We'll talk about that with him coming up at the bottom of the hour, but taking our first break. We'll be right back after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. Got a few more minutes. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us. Excited to talk to him. Unable to get to him last week. They had some recruiting news going on over there, so we'll talk to him about that. Transfer portal, NFL draft as well, and kind of what to expect from Georgia moving forward. But we were talking about, because Andy brought it up on the phones, and the phone lines are still open for the next few minutes, 334-321-1390. You can call in to be a part of the show. He brought up the Aiden Holloway stuff some more since Doug was talking about it with, I believe, Uncle T-Bone, that he was referencing Locked On Bama, right? Because Doug does Locked On Wednesdays, right, with Auburn and Bama and SEC. Chris Gordy, good friend of ours. And
It's a great show.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And I understand where folks like Andy, who are probably not alone, are coming from, where, again, it's the Alabama perspective of Aiden Holloway's great, Aiden Holloway's awesome, we've got Aiden Holloway, we're going to have all these great players come in here, and we're going to be fantastic. And I actually do have to disagree with you, Uncle T-Bone, because I think Mark Sears is coming back.
Yeah.
And I think he should, because you use the reason of his draft stock will never be higher, but is his draft stock really that high compared to what other people are doing right now? And I just think it would be better for him just to come back, get some NIL money, and be a dominant SEC point guard again. And he's not going to get beat out by Aiden Holloway, let's be honest. I mean, Mark Sears is a great point guard. Auburn would have killed to have him last year.
Definitely has nothing to do with Aiden Holloway going there. That, tomato.
Right, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I think that, you know, quite honestly, the way that he and Kylie, the other kid that they're talking about may coming back, just slipped my mind, the transfer from South Dakota. Alabama's basketball player, whatever. I think
Grant Nelson.
Yeah.
That's why intern Allen's here.
North Dakota.
Yeah, wherever, one of the Dakotas.
out in the middle of nowhere.
No, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, I just don't, you know, NIL money might keep him around. I don't think that either one's going to get any better than they were at their best at Alabama. I think that they're both late first rounders, early second rounders, and I just don't think they can do anything but hurt their stock moving forward. But in today's world, it really doesn't matter if you're going to stay another year and make $1 million anyway in Tuscaloosa as a basketball player. That's going to go a long ways.
And make another run at a championship.
And then make a run at a championship and, you know, all the other perks you get from being a very successful athletic person at the University of Alabama. So speaking of the transfer portal, former Auburn commit who commits to Kansas. I don't even think he's stepped foot on campus there yet.
Filan, yeah.
Out of Mobile, LeBaron Filan says he's out at Kansas. He's gone.
He asked to have his – he requested that his NLI, his National Letter of Intent, be pulled, and he will not be attending the University of Kansas.
A lot of people thinking that around here that, you know, Auburn's completely out of that situation. I don't really know how or the whys of why he left Auburn and the commitment that he had here, other than probably I think he was a Wes Flanagan recruit. And now Wes is at Ole Miss, so that might be a natural landing spot at him. A lot of people think that Alabama might be a natural landing spot for him. But, you know, he apparently, according to this ESPN article, that was a little upset or miffed that in the offseason, Bill Self, the head coach at Kansas, went out and kind of redid his guards and wings in the transfer portal, and it just creates more competition for Filan, I guess, not to step in and be the immediate starter at Kansas, which is kind of weak sauce in my opinion. And you can't even go there and compete one fall before you leave, you know. And it's just another. This is the bad side of the portal. Okay, this and like the Caden Proctor guy from Alabama leaving Alabama, going to Iowa for 3 months, and then coming back to Alabama. That's not even being a college student. You were talking about that earlier. You got to have your bags packed and ready to go. You know, it's jump street once you hit click and put your name in the portal, and you got to be ready to go.
You better believe it.
You know, where are these kids like Caden Proctor, where are they getting their academics going, you know, for three? You're telling me that a college kid that was at Alabama up and moved his whole life back to Iowa, and then within a three-month period up and moved his whole life back to Alabama, is a chemistry major? And playing college football while doing that?
Shoot, doesn't matter what their major is. I mean, they're not getting the education that they're getting paid for.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right
there. I was going to say that they're paying for it, but they're obviously not. They're getting scholarship and all that. I mean, they're not getting
this NIL money.
Exactly. They're not getting the education.
Why as a taxpayer am I having to pay for taxes in the state of Alabama that probably benefit these schools and go to helping scholarships when these kids are getting paid $1 million also? Why aren't they just paying for their own school?
Which is what a lot of people are starting to say, which brings us back to a conversation that I, and a topic that I continue to believe is true. I don't know what the time period is going to be and what the time is on this. It's less than 10 years, I would beg to argue, and it could be within five.
I think it's coming quick.
That a student athlete will no longer be a thing. That's, there will still be
there
some.
It is.
There will still be some. You'll still have people that want to come and get their doctorates and get their chemistry degrees and want to go and be architects and want to go and be pilots. They're going to go to school. But
yeah, Cornell.
A lot of these athletes that show up at Auburn or Ohio State or USC, they're not going to go in there and say, you know what, I'll take a communication major, I'll go to class, but I'm here to play football. No, that's not going to happen anymore. They're going to walk in and they're going to say, I play for the Ohio State Buckeyes, but I don't go to school here. I'm not a student. I don't care. And you know what? That's sad. It's really sad, but it's coming. It's coming down the pipe. I can see it right here in front of us.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And I think that these coaches in today's world, the not the older school ones, but the newer school ones are beginning to kind of look a blind eye at that kind of thing because they're getting paid so many bucks and they just want mercenaries out there that can help them win so they can keep making 10, 12, probably, I mean, it's moving to $15 million a year, right? I mean, try pulling that on Pat Dye not going to class. Where's Dak when you need him? Dak, I'm sure you're hearing this message. Call in and tell us what it was like for a football player at Auburn University that notoriously missed class.
Where's Coach Dunn when you
need him? Coach Pat Dye.
Yeah.
And see how that worked out for them. They were shown the door pretty quick if they didn't get it together. This is the bad side of it, man. I just think that there's a lot of these kids, including Ada Holloway, that are getting bad advice. You talked about it earlier from a mom or an aunt or a granny or an uncle or whatever you want to call it. And that's why they're bouncing around so much. And instead of worrying about going to the right place and doing the right thing first by getting a quality education that you can always fall back on, they're just rolling all the dice that they're going to be in the NBA one day and get rich or die trying. And I guess And I'm going to say this. Thanks, Alan. Most people are going to die trying.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We'll take our bottom of the hour break. And Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us coming up after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz, and we're joined on the phone lines as we are every single Wednesday. It's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, the leading Georgia guy over in Athens. He joins us every week, giving us updates on everything that's happening over in Athens, Georgia. Jordan, great to hear from you, man. Hope all is well. I know it's a busy time as always.
Definitely got all kinds of stuff going on with the portal for basketball and football, and oh yeah, it's draft week, so there's definitely no shortage of stuff to talk about, stuff to write about either.
Well, let's start with the transfer portal because, I mean, look, this week, last week, the next week, that's the biggest topic in college athletics right now. And we've talked ad nauseum just about how insane it is that the football and basketball portals will open at the same time. I mean, not that those coaches are overlapping and the players are overlapping, but for folks like you and me, Jordan, that's a lot to keep up with at one time. And so I'm going to ask you to do your best to kind of update us on what's been happening transfer portal-wise with Georgia football and basketball.
On the football side, it's honestly been pretty quiet. They've lost two scholarship players since the end of spring, and that's Andrew Paul and Tyler Williams. Tyler Williams is the only one that has committed elsewhere since then. He actually committed to Minnesota on Tuesday. Basketball, it's kind of moving by the minute. They had R.J. Melendez go in the portal. I believe that was on Tuesday. They picked up App State forward Justin Abson on Wednesday. He is the reigning Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year. That is the second guy they've gotten from the portal so far. DeShane Montgomery from Mount St. Mary's, a guard that is coming off his freshman season. He is the other one. And they've still got, I believe, six open scholarships, so I expect Georgia men's basketball to continue to be busy. On the football side, really, we're just watching Jaden Rashada, the former Florida signee who wound up leaving and going to Arizona State. He came to town on a visit on Tuesday. I believe he's still in town, maybe headed out probably this afternoon or evening. But it seems like Georgia's in a pretty good position to pick him up. I think there are going to be other teams, including Auburn, maybe one of those teams, trying to convince him to transfer. I think he understands that, you know, wherever he winds up going is probably going to be a long shot for him to start in 2024, but he's still got a very bright future, former four-star prospect. Rashad is in town, and really other than that, unless some sort of big-time five-star caliber of player at, say, defensive tackle or safety goes into the portal, I don't expect to see Georgia do a lot as far as adding additional players during this portal point.
Jordan, how many other quarterbacks are in that quarterback room right now? Georgia is going to add another if they do. What's that going to do for who else is over there? And also in the recruitment of the quarterback from Carrollton that just everybody and it seems like on earth is trying to get to come to their college.
So starting with the way the quarterback room is set up right now, they've got three scholarship guys, Carson Beck, Gunnar Stockton, and Ryan Puglisi. Getting Rashada, it sort of separates. They're all in different classes. If he was able to come to Georgia, that'd be four scholarship guys. So I think it makes sense. And Gunnar Stockton was actually asked about this during spring, and he said, you know, it's been the plan for Georgia to get the four scholarship quarterbacks, and he wasn't going to back down from competition to be the backup. So I think they would probably just stay put. I don't think we'd see anybody leave or there being any kind of turmoil if he wound up, Jaden Rashada wound up coming to Georgia. And as far as Juju Lewis, you know, I kind of think the ship has sailed for Georgia in that recruitment. They picked up Ryan Montgomery last Wednesday. It's actually the reason I wasn't able to come on and talk with you guys. We were waiting to see his announcement. But got him from Findlay, Ohio. Actually, the playing at the same high school as Ben Roethlisberger. He has a relationship with Ben Roethlisberger. And he's a guy that I think Georgia feels really good about. getting him. You know, I think they push really hard, try to get Julian Lewis to back off that USC commitment. I think eventually they just sort of looked at how things were setting up and decided, look, if we were going to get Ryan Montgomery, who we really like, we need to go ahead and pull the trigger on that. Get him and more than likely not continue pushing for Julian Lewis. So I'd say that's a big win for Auburn. I think Alabama's also pushing to try to land him. And I'd be really interested to see what winds up happening in Lewis's recruitment, where he winds up going.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 247, just kind of a two-part question about him. That we mentioned him and Auburn and the relationship there. Jordan, have you seen him play, and is he one of these guys that's just the real deal Holyfield, no doubt about it, number one quarterback in the country? We're having a discussion earlier on some of these players that are entering the portal. One just entered from Alabama, a former offensive lineman, that, you know, the hype around him from the media at Alabama was that he was just going to be, you know, the Berlin Wall around their quarterbacks. And is this guy really it, or is this just a victim of some of this hype machine that we see this time of year?
I'll be honest and say I haven't watched him play in person. I've heard a ton about him since he kind of burst onto the scene. And Carrollton's one of the top programs in Georgia. So once he sort of, you know, emerged, and it was like, hey, there's this kid out in Carrollton. I think he's really talented. But I have big questions because he's reclassified into the 2025 class. You know, he should just be a junior. So I kind of want to pump the brakes just when it comes to, you know, wherever he goes, whether he sticks with USC, if he picks Alabama, if he picks Auburn, they're going to want him to play right away. And I think he's super young. You know, I think he's a guy that's got a very high ceiling. But I definitely, especially once you've done this as long as I have at this point, you know not to just lock down sure thing, you know, sign, seal, and deliver it. He's going to be, you know, the next big thing. But I will say I like a lot about of what he brings to the table. And I think, again, not saying he's just go ahead and ride it in, he's going to be an All-American, but whoever does get him should be really excited, because I do think he's a very talented quarterback and he's got a lot of potential. It's just going to come down to if he's able to fulfill that potential.
Yeah, that's the big word for me, Jordan, is the potential, right? I mean, what the ultimate ceiling could be for a guy like him, especially at the quarterback spot. I mean, there's just so many unknowns and question marks and quarterbacks and those high-level offensive and defensive positions. And so you just never know what's going to happen. And so we'll keep really just keep a tap on that and see what's going on. Other than the portal, with the spring now being over for Georgia, and you did a really good piece on Dogs 247 about the offensive roster outlook, right? Coming out of spring, kind of what this Georgia football team is going to look like. I mean, is there anything that sticks out to you that you were concerned about going into spring that you feel better about coming out of spring, or vice versa, something that maybe Georgia's trying to kind of address right now in the portal and something that we'll hear about coming up in the fall?
I think as far as something I feel better about is their receiver room, because you had a pretty good feeling with what they went and added, and the fact that they really concentrated on bringing in veteran guys. They went and got three receivers out of the portal. You know, you thought that put them in good position, but I think coming out of spring, you have to be really, really excited about what Carson Beck gets to work with. You know, bringing back Dominic Lovett, also having Ra-Ra Thomas back, having Oscar Delpa tied in, but then, you know, probably the most talked about guy in spring was Colby Young, the 6'3" receiver they got from Miami. I think we're going to see a whole lot of jump balls to him in the end zone. I think he's going to be a guy that's very, very involved. So I think they're super, super deep at receiver. And just seeing what those rotations look like, because they like getting a lot of different guys involved, I think it's going to be something to watch early in the season. As far as concerns, and I think Kirby Smart would admit as much, defensive line and specifically defensive tackle. Yeah, that's really one of the positions where if somebody went in and it was the right somebody, I think Georgia would say, all right, we're going to go and really try to make a push to land this guy. They have a lot of options. There's just no one that you're like, okay, they know they can count on him. And that's not to say some of these guys couldn't emerge by the time we get to the season, but they got a lot of different guys like Jordan Hall, Christian Miller, some of the younger guys that are coming in now as well, that they're counting on to really step up. You know, I think as good as Georgia was last season, they didn't have a Jalen Carter or a Jordan Davis type there in the interior defensive line. I think they're still looking for that. And looking at last season, I kind of think it was sort of a situation where they counted on everybody. It was sort of quantity rather than quality, as far as it wasn't just one guy. They had a lot of different guys getting mixed. I think they're wanting to see someone emerge at defensive tackle. And if the right guy goes in the portal, I think they'd go after him. Otherwise, they're going to count on some guys that have played but not played a ton, count on them to do a whole lot more in 2024.
Jordan, in case you haven't noticed, over the last few years, the University of Georgia has put a tremendous amount of talent in the NFL draft. Most mock drafts have Brock Bowers being the first dog taking off the board. Both CBS and ESPN have him at 10 going to the New York Jets. And then Amarius Mims, the massive offensive lineman, they have him anywhere in the late draft. ESPN has him at 30 and CBS at 28. Talk about those two guys, and we all know about Brock Bowers, especially over here on Auburn. But you know what's their draft day and draft night going to look like, and who are some other names as the draft moves forward that we can look for that are Georgia Bulldogs?
Yeah, looking at Brock Bowers, I'm just really fascinated to see where he winds up going, because it's sort of funny for me as a Falcons fan. I kind of think the Falcons and Kyle Pitts have sort of hurt Brock Bowers' draft stock.
We were talking about that earlier before the show started.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Falcons might have got him at 4, and you know they haven't gotten a ton out of him. But Brock's just otherworldly, just outstanding tight end. I saw a knock that some folks had about his run blocking. He's a really good run blocker from, you know, as much as I know about run blocking, I would feel pretty good about what he brings to the tight end position there. Very sure-handed, very physical. I think he goes to 10 to the Jets as well. But I could see him maybe slipping. I think if you're Joe Burrow, you really hope he's at 18 and the Bengals go and get him. Amarius Mims, I think if he had a little bit more experience at Georgia, he may be one of the top tackles taken. I still think he'll probably wind up going in the first round. But he only started 1 year at Georgia. I think he's got 8 career starts, a couple of them going back to 2022. Physical freak, huge. I think he's like 6'7" and 5'8", something like that. I mean, just gigantic guy who moves really well for his size. But he sort of got limited in terms of, you know, this wasn't a 3-year starter. This is a guy that got hurt last year, missed a good chunk of the season. I still think he's got a chance to be a first-round pick. And you know, looking at some of those other, later in the draft, and I think Ladd McConkey could sneak in the first round. He'll probably go in the second. Kamari Laster is a corner. I'm really excited about him. I mentioned being a Falcons fan. I would be super pumped if in the second round the Falcons went and got him. And then the other guy I'll throw out that might be second round, third round, Javon Bullard. I mean, as physical a safety as I've seen, I think I saw that Mel Kiper likes him as his favorite safety in this class. Not entirely sure when he'll go off the board, but if there are NFL fans out there, I would tell them you should be super excited if your team lands Javon Bullard. He's a very fun defender to watch. I think he's got a chance to be a very, very productive player.
As our NFL draft expert, Jordan Hill, let me ask you this question before we let you go. If you had to put a number on it, right? We're out in Las Vegas, and you've got your $20 bill, and they say, all right, Jordan, how many Georgia players are going to be drafted on day one? What's that number?
I would say 2. I'm just not convinced that Ladd is going to sneak in there. I feel pretty good that it's going to be Brock in probably that 10 to 15 range, and then Marius, I believe I have him 20th to the Steelers, but probably in that 20 to 25 range. I think the only person besides those two that would have a chance is Ladd McConkey, and that might be a team trading up. In the mock draft that I did on Dogs 24/7, I have him going 39th overall to the Carolina Panthers. I just think that fit is very, very good, and I don't know, there's something in my head about Ladd playing with Bryce Young. It just sort of feels right, especially with some of the Georgia and Alabama battles that have happened the last few years. So I think it's going to be 2. I think it could be as high as 3. But I think Brock is a first-round lock. And I feel pretty good that Marius will go in the first round.
Well, we shall see. NFL draft beginning tomorrow, and should be a lot of fun over the next couple of days. And Georgia has had some of the most success in the NFL draft as most college programs across the country. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, he's with us every single Wednesday here on the show. We appreciate him doing that and giving us all the updates around Georgia athletics. Man, plug everything you got going on, what's coming up, and where people can find you at Dogs 247.
Definitely, dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogs247. So, got draft previews on about 10 of those Georgia players who have a chance to be drafted. I would recommend people go check that out. Recommend that they keep an eye out, because with the portal, there could be stuff happening all the time. So we got all kinds of intel on there with football and men's basketball. And, yeah, just kind of getting ready for the draft to get underway Thursday night. It's always kind of a fun three-day run where you're seeing a lot of players you've covered get a chance to realize a dream, and super excited to see where these guys end up and to follow their career once they start playing on Sunday.
Well, man, enjoy the draft process. We always do, covering it, talking about it, writing about it in your instances. And, man, we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great.
That's Jordan Hill from Dogs 247. Go check it out at dogs247.com. If you're a subscriber to Auburn Undercover, the Auburn 247 site, guess what? You get access to Dogs 247, so you may as well go and check it out, get the latest updates on Georgia athletics. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. We got something to talk about that Uncle T-Bone brought up to Jordan Hill about the Alabama Crimson Tide losing more players to the portal. We'll talk about that as we wrap up hour number one after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Couple of minutes left here in hour number one. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. As always, Jordan Hill as well from Dogs 247 with us on Wednesdays. And Uncle T-Bone, something that you brought up to Jordan Hill, it's actually something that intern Allen brought up to us during a break. There's more news out of Tuscaloosa in the football camp of Kalen DeBoer. We'll let intern Allen talk about the news, and then you've got something you'd like to say, Uncle T-Bone. Go ahead, intern Allen.
Yeah, so Alabama offensive lineman James Brockermeyer has entered the transfer portal as a grad transfer. That's On Three reporting that.
Which Brockermeyer is that?
I think this is the second one to leave Alabama. I do remember when they initially signed with Alabama, they were going to be the guys that that were going to build the wall around the quarterback and not allow any grass to get on the jersey. Very hyped duo. A lot of people made some comparisons to the Pouncey twins at Florida. So these were two very hyped up individuals.
Now, this kid was the center at Alabama, and the twin brother of the Tommy Brockermeyer, who's already left Alabama, and he's a center right now at the University of Alabama. Is that correct? When Kalen DeBoer came in, he brought a Washington center transfer, Parker Brailsford, in. And now Brockermeyer's probably been beat out, and he's gone.
Yeah, as of right now, from what I'm reading right now, this is Pete Nakos from On3 saying the former four-star recruit also has a do not contact tag on his portal entry, and his brother right now, I believe, is at TCU. So if they're looking at kind of a reunion there, that could be possible. But it sounds like he's kind of got his mind made up.
That's been a real popular thing here recently with players entering the portal, football and basketball. They go into the portal and they throw that do not contact, and I'm putting this in massive air quotations, ladies and gentlemen, do not contact me when they get in the portal. Okay, why? Tell me why you would go into the transfer portal and then say, oh, don't talk to me, don't contact me. You know what that screams to me? I've already got something set up. I already know what I'm doing. Well, then you ask the question, well, how'd you get that set up? How'd you know, right? This is what, again, this is such a dirty process sometimes, and I'm not saying that's what this is, and I'm not talking about any case in particular, but you enter the transfer portal with the intention to leave, but you say, yeah, don't reach out to me. So what are you going to do? Just sit there? No. You've already got a plan ready to go, because you've already, let's just be honest, you've already had those conversations.
Yeah, you've got the U-Haul loaded up and gassed up. You've got the Google Maps ready to go, and you're probably heading on back home to Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth, Texas, where TCU is, right?
I mean, that's remember what it seems
these,
like.
Remember when these Brockermeyer twins were recruited at Alabama, and all we heard from the Alabama spinsters out there in the media, how they're going to put up the Brockermeyer wall, not the Berlin wall, the Brockermeyer wall. And, I mean, the quarterback's jersey's just never going to be dirty again. They're the end all be all. The twins. They were just like instant celebrities.
I tried to hold it in. I couldn't do it.
At the University of Alabama when they signed. It's just another example of media pumping these kids up to a ridiculous point. And then when fans
– to some levels that are unfair.
That are unfair for these kids to meet expectations. And then fans – hook, line, and sinker, swallow the hook down to the lungs and buy this stuff and go around running around saying, oh, they're the greatest ever. And when it goes bad, people can't understand why fans are upset.
Yeah.
They've been sold a bill of expectation.
Yeah. And it's tough to live up to it regardless. And it's easy to do, especially with the Brockermeyer kids who, they're good players, man. They're talented. They've got something to offer.
They're the Crockermeyer twins.
Gosh. Hour number one's in the book. Stay tuned. Hour number two's coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we are underway here at hour number two on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Uncle T-Bone. Hour number one is in the books. If you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We talked with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 back in hour number one about all things Georgia athletics, activity in the transfer portal, more on the basketball side of things than football, which is interesting, and seeing what happens with Mike White and that basketball team. And then the NFL draft coming up tomorrow and this weekend, and talking about all the Georgia guys that are going to be in there. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft here in hour number two, and something that you love, Uncle T-Bone, the NFL draft coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Let's see. I've got a couple of mock drafts up right now, CBSSports.com, obviously ESPN.com. They all kind of look about the same for the most part. The Chicago Bears with the first pick. Both of them have Caleb Williams, quarterback from Southern California, is number one, and I agree with that. I just think talent-wise, he is – just from my eye test, the best quarterback in the draft. He's got a cannon. I mean, it's a big arm. Now, there's some questions about his, I don't want to say character, maybe toughness. Some people have accused him of being a little soft. But, I mean, this guy's, 6'1", 6'2", 215. I mean, he can just hum the ball in there. I would agree with that if I was the Bears. I'd take my chances on him. But I'll say this. If he weren't in the draft, I'd be taking a very, very, very hard look at Jaden Daniels.
Mm.
Because I think Jaden Daniels has proven himself to be very tough with the competition that he's played over the last 2 years. Some of the hits he's taken have just been ridiculous. And he's just a sleek, savvy player who just manages to move the ball down the field and will be very dangerous in the pros.
Well, there's no doubt that this draft class, and it typically is, but this one more so than it's been in a while, is just so quarterback heavy.
It's
there are so many guys that are going to be drafted high in the first round. And look, here's the thing that you have to remember. They're not all going to work out. Some are going to be great. Some are going to be busts. Some are going to be surprises. And you don't know which is going to be which is part of the fun for folks like us and you, the listener. Now, not for these GMs and head coaches. They're stressing to death and aren't going to sleep until, you know, next week. But
right.
That's what makes this interesting. And want to tell you about a programming note about the NFL draft. We're going to carry that right here on ESPN 106.7. So tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to have the NFL draft rounds days 1, 2, and 3 for you right here on ESPN Radio. So be sure that you are tuning in once the shows are over. Don't go anywhere. Just stay right here. You can hear every single pick of the draft right here on ESPN 106.7. So excited to bring you that starting tomorrow night following the drive at 6 o'clock. But, man, you start looking at these quarterbacks mm-hmm. that are in this draft class, and, I mean, you can't really go wrong with a lot of these guys. Ooh, but
that's a bold statement. Wow, Jacob.
Jacob, have you ever watched the NFL Ooh. Draft and see how it goes?
I'm talking
easy, big dog.
I'm talking on the forefront, okay? On Ooh. The forefront, you can't go wrong right now. It's easy to sit here and say that, yeah, somebody's not going to work out.
Right.
Okay, who? Right?
J.J. McCarthy.
Really?
I just don't see it.
Well, he's an interesting story. The national champion winning quarterback at the Michigan Wolverines is pretty much a consensus top 10 pick in most mock drafts, which is wild.
Top 5.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is he continues to climb as we get closer to draft day.
Yeah.
Do I think he's a top 5 pick? Heck no.
No, I would not, as a GM, sink millions of dollars in my responsibility and name into J.J. McCarthy. Ain't no way I'm drafting him in the first round, let alone in the top 10. That's not happening. I mean, the kid, nice kid, you know, not saying he's not going to make it in the NFL, but, you know, in Uncle T-Bone's book, he's down there around round 4 or round 5, but it just goes to show.
Woo!
It just goes to show. I'm telling you, it's pretty harsh, isn't it? It just goes to show.
Gosh.
I was having this conversation with somebody a couple years ago. I believe it was the draft 2 years ago. It may have been last year's draft. I'll go back and look. Like 6 or 7 wide receivers were taken in the first 25 picks.
Yeah.
And there was one tailback. Running back, whatever. There's in both of these mock drafts I'm looking at on CBSSports.com and ESPN.com. You know, we're at ESPN 106.7, so go to ESPN. Not one running back in the first round. All quarterback heavy, all receiver heavy. The game has changed so much. It has changed so much in just not the last 25 years, but the last 10 years. I mean, I can remember when tailbacks, running backs were so highly coveted. They were huge, top 10, top 15, 3-4, who's going to be your back? Because most teams just had one premier back, even in the NFL. I mean, Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, you name it. But the game's changed so much, and there's just so many different roles for people out of the backfield to play, and I think NFL teams have wised up, and they're like, we're not going to give a guy 25 carries in this league. He's not going to be with us 2-3 years.
Well, the lives of running backs are just so short.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so, you know, they'll have – most of these teams will have multiple backs, and they can pick them up in later rounds. And golly, it's just crazy. And I'm going through these mock drafts, and again, quarterback heavy, wide receiver heavy. It's the trend out there. I'm looking for – that Tom Brady-type quarterback in later rounds if I'm an NFL guy. I don't think it's as imperative in the NFL unless you have Patrick Mahomes, the number one jammer in the league, right, at quarterback, to have just a unreal, unbelievable quarterback in today's world. The offenses are so wide open, you got to have a game manager, someone who doesn't turn the ball over and gets it into the premier playmaker's hands all around the field. That's the way I see it.
Just look at football nowadays. You were talking about the NFL, but look at college football too, the one we primarily talk about. I mean, it's offense driven. It's offense heavy.
I said it 3 years ago to Doug Amos on his show that defense was dead, and you'd have thought that people would have called in and wanted to find me and string me up.
Especially in this state.
In this state where we grew up, I especially did, and it was, Uncle T-Bone, you got to win championships, you got to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust and play defense, boy. And that's not how it is. Now, defense isn't completely dead. I've said it on this show. It has three primary functions, and that's to create pressure, to create turnovers, and get the occasional three and out.
Yeah.
And hopefully while you're creating pressure and creating turnovers, you're turning your defense into offense and getting a scoop and score or a pick six to even to put the cherry on top. But, you know, no one's going out there in college football today and saying, I'm going to build the 1992 Alabama defense and beat you. You got to have a serviceable defense, right? You got to make the occasional stops. You got to create the occasional turnovers. A red zone heavy. Don't let them score touchdowns. Let them kick field goals, and that's the best they get. But you, if you don't have an offense in college football, I'll take offense over defense any day and twice a Sunday. And I cannot believe I said that because I grew up in the 80s when Pat Dye was shoving that ball down people's throats.
That one hurt the soul, didn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm able to roll with the punches. So
that's right.
Just like this NIL stuff, the world changes. You better change with it, and you're seeing it in the NFL draft. Quarterbacks, receivers.
Go ahead, intern Allen.
So I will follow that analysis with a question for, and I'll just open this up to both of y'all.
And the phone lines as well.
And the phone lines as well. And the phone lines as well.
1390, yep.
So with such a quarterback, potentially quarterback heavy top 10 in these projected mock drafts, you could potentially see four quarterbacks go in the top 10 if everything played out the right way. Which of those four, and I'll just throw the names out, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and McCarthy, which of those four, it could be one, it could be two, which ones are actually worthy that you think are worth a top five, top 10 pick? Hmm. Or do you think one of those four are overvalued? I know, Uncle T, you think J.J. McCarthy.
I think he's overvalued.
Definitely overvalued.
No question.
Worthy as in what? Worthy as in we think they're going to work out? Worthy as in they've earned to be a top five pick? What do you mean by that?
I'll say earn the right to be a top five pick. Or do you think it's just the fact that these teams are so quarterback focused that they're like, well, these teams are going, you know, these teams are going to take one early. Maybe we got to take one before they get off the board.
So the Denver Broncos just acquired Zach Wilson from the New York Jets.
One Wilson to the other,
and he was what, the number two pick in the draft 2-3 years
That's right.
ago. I mean, how much money did they waste on that miss? And
a lot.
And I need to go back and
I think that's the correct term.
Sharpen this take up so I know, you know, some of the people they passed over that have panned out now. It's an inexact science. Obviously, drafting football players,
yeah,
and recruiting them.
And again, you're going to hit on some, and you're going to miss on some.
But whoever, and it's just common sense, if you recruit the players that pan out, you know, it's not just luck. You've got to have some type of system. You got to have some type of standards. And it just boggles my mind that some of these people in the NFL are paid millions of dollars to make draft picks like Zach Wilson. I was screaming, jumping up and down when they took him. Why take that guy? Who is Zach Wilson? His mom's hot, I know that. Is that why they took him? Because like she was getting all the love on Instagram?
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm Uncle serious. Why did they take him and pay him all that money? He was horrible.
Did you not see his pro day where he threw all those dots against air?
Yeah,
I mean,
against no defense. I mean that, look, that really gets people
totally
going.
Overhyped, by the way.
I know that there are players that come out of, I don't want to say lesser schools because that's unfair to those schools. Maybe not quite as high profile schools that we see in the SEC with the competition.
Sure.
People like Josh Allen from Wyoming pan out. Okay. And he's had a heck of a career. Hadn't got him over the hump, but he's made the Bills very relevant and has put up some bodacious numbers in the NFL and earned his paychecks.
For sure.
But that's the first thing I'm going to look at, long way to answer your question, intern Allen, is who were these people playing against? It's almost like, okay, I got this stud running back. I don't know. Maybe I got this stud point guard who's one of the best shooting point guards in the country, but he may or may not be going up against the best teams, Aiden Holloway, and really pad these numbers. As opposed to this kid, Cam Coleman, plays at Phoenix City and plays against top talent in the state of Alabama.
Let's get to the phone lines and talk to a football guy. He's got some things to say, I'm sure. 334-321-1390. Dak, we were looking for you earlier, man. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday. What a beautiful day, huh?
Yes, it is. Gorgeous once again.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys, with McCarthy being the one that I question, and then followed by Michael Penix. But tell me how many games that he started at quarterback for Michigan that came down to the wire?
A lot.
All right. I like to, just like y'all said earlier, I like to look at the competition. Mm-hmm. To me, McCarthy has not faced but maybe 2-3 teams a year.
Yes.
That is even worthy of a defense to go against.
And was it him? Was it him against Ohio State lighting them up? Was it him? I mean, he made some critical throws against Alabama in crunch time.
Okay.
But was it him, or was it that big beefy offensive line and those motion tight ends and those pulling guards and those and Blake Corum running up and down the field? I mean, it all matters. But was he the one that was really in
That's
crunch
right.
time? We're going to put it in JJ's hands, and he's going to take us down to win this football game.
Right. And guys, let me tell you something. Against Alabama, I wish you could watch the sideline view of that game. And it was absolutely amazing what they did. Everybody knows of the usual pick play for 2 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You motion to trips, or you're already in trips, and you do the double pick with the slants, and the dude comes open.
Right on the goal line, yep.
Everyone of those crucial throws that he made, did you know they were picking the linebackers in the middle of the field?
Yep.
I mean, and I've said this all the time, that you could do that, and it's hard for head coaches to accept that you can pick in the middle of the field. But they did it the whole game.
They knew
Alabama would be in man-to-man coverage. That's mm-hmm. why.
Yeah. A lot of and coaches don't want to do it.
And over, and that's right. But and now a lot of teams don't play so much man that Alabama does. And so they knew every situation they were going to be in man. So what did they do? They sent receivers down in the middle of the field to pick linebackers, and that's why the running back and the tight end was open so many times.
Yeah, they just throw them out there to get in the way. It's not, I mean, it's not
right.
like for those people that are kind of questioning what this is, it's not like they're going out and setting a full-on screen in basketball, but they're just going to get in the way, right? They're just getting
that's
in
right.
the way of the running path of man-to-man, because Alabama plays, and you can correct me if you disagree here, but Alabama has played man-to-man for so long because they've had the dudes, they've had the athletes to play man-to-man.
That's right. And then the other thing, too, is the officials don't never look for a pick play in the middle of the field.
Right.
That's why it's not called. So they time and time again, they did make really a lot of contact with those guys, even though the way you do it is you hook up in front of them and let them run into you.
Yep.
And that's how you do a natural pick play. But they were putting shoulders on them. And the reason they were getting away with it is because it's never done. Nobody hardly ever does that.
Which is great coaching by Michigan and great
exactly
understanding
right.
of the game, and realizing that's some Nick Saban stuff right there, where they found something that was broken and that works, and they just hammered it until they won a national championship doing it.
That's right. And I would say second would be Michael Penix. I think because of his size. I think number one, in my opinion, left-handed. There's not very many left-handed quarterbacks that are successful in NFL, are they?
Not many.
And
Jim Zorn comes to mind.
They've been two or three, but the reason I say him is because he's been injured so much.
Yeah.
And that just magically don't disappear.
And I'll jump on that too, Dak, because a guy that gets injured like he does, and a guy that is on the smaller side, and I'm not saying small quarterbacks can't make it happen. There have been good ones, and there still are in the NFL. But you have to remember, when these quarterbacks are getting drafted high in the NFL, there's a reason they're getting drafted high to these certain teams. It's because these teams are struggling and they need somebody. And those quarterbacks, what happens those first couple of years, Dak? They just get hammered and hammered and hammered until they can get the offensive lineman in there to actually protect them. And we've seen this so many times with young quarterbacks coming in and their careers get ended because they can't stay up in the pocket.
Right. And guys, I have a theory or a formula I think would work better in NFL. How many times has it ever occurred where you get your quarterback first and then you get your offense coordinator? It never happens, does it?
Right.
So tell me, is it how in the world you have all these college quarterbacks that were all world, all conference, even Heisman candidates, and then can't play in the NFL? How is that possible? To me, you have to match the offensive coordinator with the quarterback and what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
And you very rarely get that, do you?
No, you don't get it. And you get it. It's more rare now because the NFL GMs and owners are so trigger happy about canning a coach after 2 years or 3 years at most if they're, you know, struggling. And with them goes the coordinators or the coaches, you know, over kind of to save their, you know what, their proverbial, you know what, are canning coordinators. Like San Francisco cans their defensive coordinator after the Super Bowl last year. That guy's awesome.
Or those coordinators go and take head coaching jobs.
Or those coordinators jump. Yeah, that was a joke, and that was more on the head coach, and you know clearly why he did it.
That's right.
Put the blame on him.
For him. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
And let me comment what you were talking about yesterday. I tried to get in, but for whatever reason, my Bluetooth wasn't connecting to my car. But when you're talking about the NCAA and what they've been doing lately, I take it like this, and I said this about 4 months ago. They're pissed off that, you know, everybody griped and on them about, you know, trying to instill the rules and the law, and now they're saying, all right, you wanted this, we're giving you all of it.
Yep.
And I mean, and by them giving back the Heisman Trophy and by them doing unlimited transfers, that right there just told me that's exactly what they're doing, and they're going to make it so bad that we come back begging. Okay, will you come back and start doing some of these things that you used to do?
Yeah, will you please come in? Oh, NCAA, please step in and help us. But you know what, Dak? That's not coming. I can promise you that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, guys. Great show, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, Dak. We appreciate the call. I want to comment on some of those things because we have yet to talk about the news of Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. Plus, we got some more NFL draft things we need to talk about. Phone lines are open. Come on in to be a part of it. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Couple of more minutes here before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Went a little long in that last segment, but that's okay because Dak was bringing in some really good things, and we appreciate him calling in. Phone lines are still open and open for the rest of the show, 334-321-1390. And some of the things he was talking about there was a question that intern Allen proposed with the quarterbacks in the NFL draft, and we'll carry this over. Plus, I want to talk about the Reggie Bush news as well. The quarterbacks that I would be most worried about would be J.J. McCarthy because, as you guys were sort of talking about, just not a whole lot of confidence in him. And look, that's crazy to say from a national championship-winning quarterback. But without looking it up, do you remember how many passes J.J. McCarthy completed in the national championship game? Completed in the national championship game against Washington.
I don't. I'm going to guess 4.
Okay, it was a little more than that. Okay. It was 10, but that's still not a whole lot. I mean, 10 of 18 is what his stat line was in the national championship game to beat the Huskies and what was one of the more boring national championship games we've seen in a while. Not that he can't do it, but he doesn't bring that excited factor. If you draft J.J. McCarthy, there's not a single fan that's going to go out drinking and celebrating because you brought in J.J. McCarthy. Now, you'd sign Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, Drake May even from North Carolina. Yeah, I think you can kind of get a little excited about that because of what they could bring. But I just don't know, man. And not that McCarthy can't be good. It's just he doesn't bring that extra excitement, in my opinion.
I mean, if you don't know, then you don't go. I mean, that's if there's any kind of question about a pick in the NFL in the draft, if you're a GM, you're going to have to just scratch that one off the list until you know you got your guy, whether right or wrong for the future. That's the way I would operate. These mock drafts, especially ESPN, they have him at 5.
To the Vikings.
To the Minnesota Vikings.
That's about a good fit for
him. I
got
a question for y'all since intern Allen is asking us questions. Would you rather have, if you were an NFL GM, would you rather have, and you had to make a choice between the two as your quarterback, would you rather have J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix?
Mm.
Because I think Bo Nix, I would take Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy, but I wouldn't take Bo Nix 5 either.
No. Absolutely.
So I just cannot understand why McCarthy's just shooting up these draft mock boards, and I just cannot feel that he's worthy of a number 5 pick.
Where are they even saying Bo Nix is supposed to go?
The ESPN does not have him in their top draft, but CBS does have him at 11, actually going to the Vikings. They don't have the Vikings trading up like ESPN does, and that's something that we haven't even talked about, is how many trades will go down, and there will be many in the first round tomorrow. It happens every year.
Yeah, it looks like Bo Nix is around the top 5 according, like, quarterbacks according to ESPN.
Would you rather have Bo Nix or Drake May?
Drake May. And I think I'd take J.J. McCarthy, too. Only reason I say that is you talk about wanting a guy who is proven. I mean, whether you like J.J. McCarthy or not, whether you think he's just that elite-level quarterback, he does have a national championship ring. I mean, you gotta give him that.
I'm with Dak, though. I think he managed that team well and has earned his national championship, but Harbaugh is such a good coach that he's going back to the NFL. He's been to the Super Bowl with one NFL team and now won a national championship, and schematically just got them back in the game against Alabama when they had seized all the momentum.
Yeah. I think Drake May throws the football better than Bo Nix does, and Bo Nix is still yet to break through the top tier winning when they need it, and I think that's a big part of it, too. Spectre, you'll be first up when we come back, man. We'll get to you and whoever else wants to call in. 334-321-1390 on the line continues after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Would love to hear from you on the phone lines. Been a great show so far. Let's continue to get to those phone lines. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. Spectre, you're on the line, man. We appreciate you holding on through the break. What's up?
No problem. I'm going to start off this Reggie Bush thing.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to get into this a little bit.
Yeah, it is awful what they're trying to do. Reggie Bush was paid with benefits or whatever. The school was penalized. And actually, everybody, including Auburn, was penalized because of what happened. And now we're exonerating him and the school? I mean, if you're going to do that, they need to exonerate Pat Dye, and then they need to exonerate Auburn. It's unbelievable. And this is the problem with NIL. NIL has taken its cancer leg out, and this is what the result of it is.
Hmm.
Now the players are being paid. Well, Reggie Bush was being paid. Let's exonerate him, give him back his trophy. You know, what about all the coaches and other players in the past that lost their jobs over the same situation?
Yeah, that's where I start to get really upset about it. And I'll be honest with you, Spectre, it used to really upset me, and this was a topic that I used to really get fired up over, because of course, Auburn being around that situation and being as good as they were at that same time. But it was just something where people always had the argument, you know, give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. And I would always say no, because he broke the rules at the time, and we knew this day was coming. I mean, it was pretty obvious in the last couple of years that eventually they were going to do it, and the momentum started to build for it. But look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that it's not a rule anymore. It matters that it was a rule back then. And the comparison I make is, okay, if I go out and I loot a store right now and I steal a television from somewhere, which is illegal, that's burglary, right? What happens if they come out and they put me in jail today? Well, they come out tomorrow and say, looting is legal. You can steal whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's not illegal anymore. Does it make it okay that I did it today if it's okay tomorrow? No. And you can agree with that or disagree with that. I don't care. But That's how that works. That's how a rule works. That's how a law works. And this is not day to day. This is 20 years ago. And so, I don't know. I mean, did him taking money affect him playing? No. He was still a fantastic player. We can all agree to that. But I disagree with it. But I've just accepted the fact that it was going to happen at some point, and today happened to be that day.
Well, you know, what happens when betting is going to be okay? Are they going to put Pete Rose back in the Hall of Fame?
Or Brad Bohannon?
Yes, exactly right. I mean, where does it stop?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the start. This was almost the seal that was holding all of that back. And now that it's broken, who knows where it's going to go? That's a really good point, Spectre.
I'm still mad, so I ain't going to say anything else before I say something dirty.
I'd appreciate that.
All right. Well, anyway, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're not alone, Spectre. Appreciate the call, man. Uncle T-Bone, your thoughts on this Reggie Bush situation, because it's a big topic today. It really is. And he is getting his Heisman back.
I never really understood why Pete Rose was not in the Hall of Fame as a player. I understand him not being allowed back in baseball as a manager.
Old school way of thinking,
because he was straight up gambling on games and calling bookies from the dugout or from the bullpen.
I think
wherever.
We can all agree that's probably not cool.
I mean
that's probably not okay.
Somebody get Brad Bohannon on the line. I mean, come on, Pete. But you know, and maybe he was doing that as a player. I don't know. I doubt it. It didn't look like it to me. They didn't call him Charlie Hustle for no reason. I don't think he ever was throwing games.
Right.
And I don't think he did that as a manager either, but, you know, it was against the rules, but there's no proof that he was doing that as a player, and he's the all-time hit leader. I mean, the guy's incredible. So I just kind of have a – I don't know, man. You know, I know that Auburn, Cam Newton, there was a friend of mine who's a South Carolina fan, huge, huge South Carolina fan and friend of mine, and he was really upset when we – just drug him in the SEC championship and lashed out. And was like, you know, if it comes out that we were denied our chance of finally winning an SEC championship because y'all had paid Cam Newton, that's not going to be right. And I kind of see that's the point that Spectre's making. Like Auburn, you know, had at USC not been paying Reggie Bush, been busted, and it was proven, he might not have been playing there, and Auburn might have got to play for a national championship. So there's ramifications for cheating. And if you're going to lay it down as the rule, then I think you got to respect the rule now. But you know, as for the Auburn stuff, I mean, that we went through our proctology exam with the NCAA.
Yeah,
I mean, it was deep.
NCAA, you've had FBI.
Deep.
I mean, you've had all sorts of stuff,
and there was nothing there. So, hey, buddy, if you're listening to me, we drug you in the SEC championship.
Well, I don't know, and it's.
I mean, I'm not really.
Like I told Spectre
about it, but Spectre's from the old school, man. If somebody lays down the law, you got to keep the law. But you know, I mean, and I'm like you can't just expect to break rules. Now, do you think it's right? Not trying to get political, but do you think it's right that these student loans are being written off? These people agreed contractually to pay their student loans.
Yeah. Well, the topic that gets brought up a lot in this is, you know, legalization of weed and marijuana, right? I mean, it's you have states where it hasn't been legal for a long time, and then all of a sudden they vote to make it legal, and it's like, okay, well, I'm in jail because I got caught with pot in my car, so I should be let out of jail. I not getting political, just saying that's something that
Understood.
Tends to come up, right? Yeah. I mean, that's... In my opinion, a rule is a rule. A law is a law. And on April 24th of 2024, if you break a rule now in college football or you break the law out on the street, you broke the rule or broke the law. I don't care if it becomes legal or not a rule tomorrow, because guess what? You broke it when it was intact. And that's how I feel about the Reggie Bush situation. But as I told Spectre, I knew this day was coming. I mean, it was eventually going to happen. The momentum for this continued to build over the years. And, I mean, it was going to happen, especially when players started being able to be paid, because that's what happened. And so,
right.
I mean, it is what it is. And, I know Auburn fans are upset about it because of Auburn being around it, but we're also, again, we're talking 20 years ago.
You know what? Just claim the national championship anyway and move on. I mean, it's not going to bother me.
May as
Can
well.
Can we pivot back to this NFL draft?
Let's go.
Please,
Let's
intern
do it.
Allen. Okay. I brought up Zach Wilson and the difficulty of getting the draft right. And the teams that get it right, just like in college football recruiting, are normally the teams there in the playoffs and have a shot of winning a championship.
Right.
The 2021 draft was Zach Wilson, okay, picked second by the Jets, quarterback out of BYU. Brutal, bust, loser, just has not panned out. Milked him for millions, okay? That's just the way I see it. But I think I'm being a little harsh on him, because let's go back through this draft real quick. If you can pull it up, I've got it pulled up.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of these other busts. Okay, Jacob, at
let's
three from North Dakota State, San Francisco took Trey Lance. Them or the Jets. Now, the first round pick in that draft was Trevor Lawrence. We agree that he's pretty much doing what he can do at Jacksonville and was worth the time and money. Two and three, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts. I mean, I don't think he's panned out as a number four pick for the Falcons.
And we talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 earlier, who said that pick by the Falcons has impacted what Brock Bowers could see tomorrow night in the NFL draft.
At number five, you got Ja'Marr Chase.
Dog.
Any one of those three teams right now are kicking themselves.
They would do anything to have drafted Ja'Marr Chase.
Let's get the draft time machine back.
Which you could do this for days. I mean,
yeah, you could. But still, I mean, it's an inexact science. Behind Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, number six. I don't know if that was worthy of a number six pick.
I think it was worth the risk.
Worth the risk. He's done pretty well. Pinnell Sewell at seven from Oregon, offensive tackle. Detroit Lions, was he on their team this year?
I think so.
Okay. So he probably helped them get to the...
Oh, this is a good one right here.
J.C. Horn.
You remember him? The South Carolina Gamecock, the corner from South Carolina.
Is he the one that picked off Bo Nix those two or three times over there?
I think so.
Yeah, and ruined our lives. Number nine, Patrick Surtain for Denver. Devontae Smith at 10.
That's a good one.
I guess he's been good. Justin Fields at 11. I mean, maybe my expectation and standard is too high for a top 10 pick, but do you think Devontae Smith has really put up top 10 numbers at the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'd say no, because they've had to go out and get help.
Yeah, they had to go get DeAndre Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, who's just a dog. Let's just be real.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, so any of these teams, you have 11 Justin Fields, he's gone. All right. How about this? Would any of those teams take the number 12 pick that they all passed on from Penn State that Dallas had, Micah Parsons?
Yeah. One of the best defensive players in the league? Yeah, I'd say so.
I know maybe these teams didn't think they needed a complete stud at defensive end at the time, so we can't go back in time. But still, I mean, goodness gracious, in this draft alone, the Patriots at 15 took Mac Jones. He's horrible.
I knew that was a rough pick.
He is. That's what I'm saying. He is the J.J. McCarthy of that draft.
Oh, okay. A little comparison. I like it. Okay. Well, and you bring up something that I think is forgotten about too with the NFL draft is depending on where you're picking and depending on what you need,
right,
that's the pick you make. And there are two ways and thoughts. That people subscribe to is if you have the number one, number two, number three overall pick, some people say you get what you need. You get what you need no matter what. And some people, myself included, I subscribe to the line of thinking of if you've got a top, let's just say top five pick, you get the best player that is available.
Without a doubt. Could not agree more. I don't care what you need. You get the best player available.
Yeah, and this takes me back to when Jabari Smith was in the NBA draft and was supposed to be taken number one overall and dropped to number three to the Houston Rockets. Well, guess what? The Rockets love that kid because he's awesome, and I think the Magic may have missed on one right there. But in the NFL's, in just any professional draft, if you have a top five pick, you take the best player
that's there.
I don't care what you need. I don't care if you don't have an offensive lineman. You still take the best one, whether he's an offensive lineman or not.
I mean, there's plenty of options in free agency that's been around in the NFL for a very long time. And, you know, if you got to plug one guy in just for 1 year to solve an issue, you take the best player available. New England in 2021 with the 15th pick
took Mac Jones in 2024 with the third pick. They're projected to take another quarterback. They got a new coach because of it as well. Here's a few players that they could have taken instead of Mac Jones. Well, Najee Harris, you know, he's had a pretty good
– Not bad.
Not bad. I mean, Travis Etienne. I mean, you know, some of these names, though, this was a pretty wild – and I if you're out there, go to the 2021 draft. I mean, for the first round.
I mean, you could do that with any draft.
There's a ton of misses here, even behind Mac Jones. So I can't really look at a player on here that's just killed it in the last part of that draft.
Well, speaking of just the best players available, you look at this draft class, and we're talking the NFL draft that comes up tomorrow, starts tomorrow, but we'll have that for you right here on ESPN 106.7 at 6 p.m. I mean, you start talking, other than quarterback, best players available.
Brock Bowers.
He's up there. He absolutely is.
Brock
He's
Bowers,
up there.
I've seen it. My eye test. If I'm the GM, I'm dying on that hill.
Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think so, too.
No question. Way more polished. Put up way better numbers. Malik Nabers last year disappeared for a while. I'm going Mel Kiper here. I'm not a big Malik Nabers fan. Now, he did light Auburn up, but who didn't?
That's also a fair point. I think Nabers was more of a systems receiver.
He disappeared at times in big games last year and kind of got a little attitude off the field.
Yeah. I mean, Brock Bowers is projected 10th to the New York Jets right now.
Hey, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
No. What you got, Intern Allen?
One of the other things from that 2021 draft, you talked about, Uncle T, you talked about the Patriots reaching a little bit, going with Mac Jones, and obviously that flopped out. Trey Lance. I mean, remember that? Remember when he was hyped up to be the next big thing,
and
he
only Trey Lance,
yes, and then he only played one game in that because of the COVID restrictions and the FCS thing. He only played one game in that 2020 season.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Because the FCS canceled. I think they canceled football, and
but
they were able to scramble a game together, and he only played one game and.
Now he's the backup quarterback at Dallas, and they had to give seventh round pick to get him.
And didn't this is totally off the top of the head. Did the 49ers not give up a lot to get that third pick to take Trey Lance?
I don't think so. I don't remember what they gave up. I don't remember that off the top of my head. But, I mean, they went after him. There's no doubt about it. And again, that's one of those where you take a chance, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, we were talking about when we were at the break, we talked about that Baker Mayfield draft. It was Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen.
Brutal, except for Josh Allen.
And those were and Lamar Jackson went 32nd, and he ended up being the second, at the moment, the second most successful, and he was the fifth quarterback taken.
I know we got to take a break, and we need to get after this last segment, but I've got a sleeper late round number one pick.
Uh-oh.
That if you're listening out there, NFL GM, you need to take Uncle T-Bone's advice on.
I'm sure they are. I think every GM listens to this show.
They
two
got
to four.
They got the pen and paper out ready to go.
They do. They've got it set on their Alexa for ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika. You better do that too. We'll take our final break and come back and wrap it up. Don't you dare turn that radio dial. We'll finish it up after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Oh, goodness. Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We say it all the time, Uncle T-Bone. Nobody's working harder than we are, and nobody's having more fun than we are either. And that's
fact.
What and that lead pop like. Nope, lead pipe lock.
There
that's
you go.
Better. Boom. Get your words mixed up. That's okay, though. We're in our final segment, and if you missed any of the show today, you can go and you can catch it with the podcast. You can find it one of two ways, ESPNAU.com, or you can just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. And we gave the NFL general managers time to tune into the show and listen because you told them they needed to be here. You've got a sneaky draft pick at the end of the first round that people need to know about with the NFL draft tomorrow. Who is it and why?
It's all about offense in the NFL these days, Jacob. You cannot have enough playmakers on the outside. And if I'm in the late rounds, I'm just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. If I'm Dallas at 24, if I'm, let's see, who else is down there? The Bills at 28, this is a good fit for them. Even Green Bay, your Green Bay Packers at 25. If you don't have Xavier Worthy
the wide receiver from Texas circled as a playmaker that you're looking to get in that late first round. I've seen some mock drafts that don't even have him in the first round. That is ridiculous. This guy put up ungodly numbers last year.
The California
dominated natives. Alabama in Tuscaloosa. 75 receptions, over 1,000 yards receiving. He only had 5 touchdowns. I think that's one of the things that that people are kind of scratching their heads about. Well, guess what? He had Adonai Mitchell on the other side of the ball who went for 55 receptions, 845 yards, and had the 11 touchdowns, was more of the red zone threat. Steve Sarkisian is probably the number one offensive mind in college football. He is someone that I think will be at Texas for about another 5 years, have a lot of success, and go back to the pros as an NFL coach. And this is a guy that comes out of his system and is just completely underrated. I think one of the reasons he's fallen back is he had a late season injury, which he came back from. He's tough enough to play through the pain. That's a player I've got my eye on, Xavier Worthy. That's your Uncle T-Bone 2024 draft lead pipe lock pick of the year.
I like it. Well, I think something that may have some NFL teams and execs kind of turning away from him is his size. He is, at Texas, he was listed at 6'1". Well, when he went and did some NFL combine workouts, he is actually 5'11 and weighs about 165. And so I think that may have something to do with why he's not a first-round pick in most mock drafts. He's a great player. I mean, he's a fantastic player. And he is somebody that I think could be a steal. And hey, if my Packers want to take him at in those late 20s, bring it on. That's fine with me. We need all the help we can get on the offensive side.
Speaking of the Packers, here's a few names that I'm seeing on mock drafts at 25 where the Packers are set to pick. Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle from Arizona, never heard of him. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama, cornerback. Yeah, heard of him. Would you like him at 25 there?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty solid
pick. Yeah, I think I'd be good with that. Pick.
Yeah. Would you rather have him or Worthy?
Ooh. For the Packers? Ooh, man. God. Oh, I don't know.
I just feel like Green Bay needs some playmakers, some more playmakers.
Yeah,
To go with Jordan Love and continue his progression. A couple other picks I see at 25 for the Packers. Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa.
The Packers need some help on the defense. Our pass defense has been horrible. Well, that's very true. But pass defense has not historically been all that great. I mean, there's so many times that the Packers corners get burned and the safeties get burned and the miscommunication back there. Now, that's a defensive coordinator problem. That's a different conversation, but we'll see how it goes tomorrow night.
Yeah, a lot of these drafts have, here's ESPN's at 25, Cooper DeJean. Or DeJean, however you want to pronounce it. Or DeJean, I don't even know. But anyway, he's a cornerback from Iowa. It looks like your Packers are trending towards taking a defensive back, and my Cowboys picking right in front of them are looking more to offensive lineman or wide receiver.
We'll see how it goes. The NFL draft is tomorrow, 6 o'clock. You can catch that right here on ESPN 106.7. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network and Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will be with us. Uncle T-Bone, he'll be back on Friday. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.